We're professional, nevertheless.
Live from two different places.
Yeah, right, per usual.
Black people love Paramore.
So I was so tickled right now because I found this prank on TikTok, right? Where the girl texts her boyfriend this really specific shit about cars, like asking him really specific car questions, just to, like, get his reaction. So I did that to Garrick right now. Oh my God. And when I tell you, this man walked away from his meeting that he was having from work to call me.
I was kidding.
Oh my God.
The petrol head.
So funny. He literally said, he said, "Who the hell is this?" Oh my God. He said he had to make sure it wasn't a nigga playing on my phone. Oh my God.
I'm screaming. What were you asking? You're like, so a 4-liter engine, you know, what type of,
I said, like, stuff like that. I said, what's a good one? I said, do you have a dual clutch transmission or a single? I said, what are your thoughts on Brembo brakes? He said, what the fuck? I said, can you lock and unlock your differential? That's when I got the phone call. At the differential. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, that was good.
He was like,
that was a good time. Ugh, that was worth it. She said, who has the cordless phone? Stop playing on her phone. Oh, my God. That was so funny. Anyways. Woo. Okay. Welcome to season 2 of Black People Love Paramore podcast, where we chat about the seemingly random things that large groups of black people go up for. I am your co-host, Sequoia.
And I'm Jordan. Welcome.
And today we're chatting about muscle cars. But first, in my defense. We're back to the usual good old in my defense. Okay. I have mine this week, Jordan. Do you have one? Do you want to start or you want me to start?
I want you to start.
Okay. Okay. My defense this week is none other than the iconoclast herself, Miley Cyrus. Now, I won't be defending Miley as a whole, okay? I won't be defending Miley just in general. Have you ever heard the song 23 by Miley Cyrus?
I think so. Is that from the seminal record Bangers that she put out with that Mike Will?
Yes, it is from the seminal record Bangers, period. Oh, yes, it is. Okay. Absolutely is. Okay. Now, let me tell you something. If you're going to exploit a culture in order to put distance between yourself and your Disney Channel image and then shit on said culture, this is how you do it. If you're going to engage in a little bit of cultural appropriation, make sure Mike Will made it at a baseline.
At the very least, make sure that Mike Will made it.
At the very least, make sure that Mike Will made it. No, you're good. It was doing too much.
He was doing too much. We're in the middle of apparently another storm is coming to New York. You know, living in New York, we're in the heart of all the elements. You know, it's becoming real rough out here.
That's crazy.
And in these dark times, you need good art, like say 23 by Miley Cyrus to tide you over. You know what I mean?
Like I said, if you are going to engage in a little appropriation, just make sure Michael made it because, you know, give me something to latch onto. I can't do nothing with
sprinkling something in that music, bro. I'll have you.
It was good. He was sprinkling a little. Is that 2013? Was it that long ago?
2013. If you walk around pretending you weren't listening to Bangers at least a little bit, sneaking a little bite of Bangers at least, you know, every once in a while in 2013, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to
It sounds like
us.
You're lying to yourself. It sounds like you're lying to all of us and to yourself. And that's not personally how I move. Mm-hmm. But if that's how you move, then I guess, you know, yeah. I would never lie to myself. I remember when I turned 24 and I was so sad that I could no longer sing 23 with the same fervor. That was disappointing. That was a hard time for me.
I know everything. They really, really age out of stuff, you know, like that.
I hate that. Yeah. And now I'm 27 and Drake has this lyric, I'm only 27, I'm only getting better. I'm like, okay, but when I turn 28, what am I supposed to do then? Like, what song is about 28? You know, who has 28?
Who's going to write it? Who's going to be brave enough to write that song about being 28?
Me. I've been saying, let me get my bars off. So right. I'll probably, you know what I mean? I'll probably do that,
actually. This is turning into the thing. This is turning into, you know, a thing where it's like... this is like, you know, your Dr. Dre saying you're going to drop that one album, that The Chronic or whatever. No, he dropped The Chronic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Detox.
He's, what was it? Detox. Yes.
This is your detox.
Yes. First of all, don't ever compare me to that man. And you know what I mean? I could wrap circles around the likes of a Dr. Dre. So there's that. Mm-hmm. And then, no, yeah, y'all keep playing with me. You know what the problem is? Nobody's letting me get on their beat. I'm a rapper. I'm not a producer. So somebody has to give me the beat. Dang. But nobody wants to give me that.
Okay.
Let me. You know what I mean? You be playing the guitar and shit. You know what I mean? Like, you be playing the guitar and shit. You be.
All right. Listeners, have it. Let it be known that on this podcast, we're sealing it in blood. I will... At some point in the next 5 years,
not in the next 5 years.
I will somewhere in the next 5 years, produce a track for Sequoia, a hot beat for Sequoia to get these bars off on.
Wow. You see, niggas never want to see you succeed. That's all it is. Mm. It's giving crab in a bucket mentality, if you ask me.
Wow, not crab in a bucket.
That's what it's giving, okay? That's what it's giving. Have to take it to Maryland. You don't want that for me, but I did. Maryland, Maine. I took it to all those places right now. Okay, I took it there. You left me very little option. Sorry. But I feel like you understand how I could defend 23 by Miley Cyrus. I feel like it's tracking for you. Do you share similar sentiments about 23 by one Miss Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, this is
Destiny Hope.
This is one of the more, I feel like, uncontroversial in my defenses. I honestly haven't listened to this song in a few years, so I might need a little refresher, but I remember deeply enjoying this era of Miley Cyrus, which is embarrassing, which made the fallout, the eventual, I mean, it was gross when it was happening. But I think we all were kind of like turning a blind eye because, you know, the
music
was, you know, hitting that spot a little bit. But it made the follow up for when she decided to re-caucasoid herself, you know, all the more kind of sad, you know, when she was like, she said,
it was nope, sad.
Put the white back on me.
Nope.
She said, I rebuke
you know what?
The
right.
Black God.
You know what?
She said, give me that acoustic guitar.
Take this fucking black Take face it. Off me. Let me hold on. Let me go wash my face.
Charcoal off her face.
The activated charcoal, literally.
She was dripping. She said, give me my acoustic guitar, give me my Malibu, and get me out of here.
Ugh. Right. Give me my fucking flowy hair. Like, give me my things back because I'm tired. Yeah, I don't want to shake my ass no more.
She realized that she was like, she was in a different neighborhood, and she was like, you know what? This is not that fun anymore. You know, like, she was like, I miss my old neighborhood.
Yeah. She said, you know what?
This was cute for a while.
Yeah. I miss Malibu. Yeah. I miss Malibu and like the beach and all of that. So I'm going to leave Compton and I guess I'll go back.
And this is the thing with like white celebrities having to like, especially ones who grew up in fame and in the Hollywood sphere like she did, they grow up in public and they often do it in such embarrassing and loud ways, you know what I mean? Like, I think
that's so true.
Like there are plenty of white people who probably went through this it is 2021, there are plenty of white people who went through this phase of who are around her age. I imagine she's in her late 20s, early 30s, who went through this
late 20s,
went through this thing of like discovering blackness and their affinity for black culture and black stuff, and then wanting to find a way to express that, and then probably embarrassing themselves. You know, there's all these kids that we know who on Facebook from the 2009 have photos of them in the fitted, you know, and like, you know, they're sagging and they're in Santa Barbara. You know, we probably know those people.
I swear to God.
But it feels like celebrities' kids always have to do it in the loudest, most public way.
That's so true.
And if this was her moment, and in we are fortunate that one of the byproducts of it was some music that, you know, we might sneak on the playlist every now and then. But
you know what I mean? I'm definitely putting 23 on whatever playlist. Free game playlist? That's a very free game song.
Can you hit me
definitely
with the chorus real quick? I can't remember what the hook sounds like.
I'm in the club, high off perp, with some shades on. Tatted up, mini skirt, with my J's on. That's it.
Wow. Do you think like Michael Jordan had to like clear that? Because it's like a reference to him. You know, like...
It's definitely a reference. Do you think they played this for him? But
Michael Jeffrey Jordan was like, yeah, that's okay. He like took the cigar out of his mouth.
Not MJ. He said, why?
He said, you know what? I'm smacked. I'm going to play some golf, but that's okay.
He said, you know what? That shit gonna hit. Yeah, let her run with that. Let her have that. Yeah. She can do that.
You can see it in my eyes, but I'm going to Atlantic City, so I don't mind.
He literally always looks like, why are his eyes like that? His eyes look like,
I think he
his eyes give alcoholic for sure. In it.
Damn, that's a really good one. 23. Miley Cyrus.
I'm waiting
for like the retrospective essay on that era of Miley Cyrus. Well, who's gonna bring her to town? Well, the thing that happened with her too. I'm sorry, you really just like making me think about something.
I love this.
She like also discovered her queerness around that time too, right? Now isn't she like now pansexual?
Something like that. Yeah. Bi, pan, something like that.
You know, mm-hmm. She really did a whole lot, and we were like, okay, Miley, because she was on SNL like 2 years ago, you know.
Hi, I'm Kate Casey, an unscripted TV expert. 3 times a week, I interview the talent directors, producers, and hosts of television's most popular reality shows, docuseries, and documentaries. I get all the behind-the-scenes stories. I cover everything from The Bachelor, Selling Sunset, and Real Housewives to Tinder Swindler, The Last Dance, and Secrets of Playboy. Join me as I ask all the questions that you want asked. And best of all, I'm the most trusted source on what to watch every week. I will give you a guide on everything from true crime and sports to competition, calling from all streaming and cable networks. The best guests, the best shows and series, Reality Life with Kate Casey.
She was on SNL a couple years ago, and she did reckon with a lot of her identity around that time. That's what it sounds like, which I feel like 23 is a pretty standard age to be reckoning with parts of your identity and stuff. And your point about celebrity children like doing this shit really loudly and in public is a really good point, because we all had embarrassing teenage shit and like embarrassing like early 20s shit that we were like, what the fuck. I look at my Time Hop now. I don't know if you have Time Hop. It's like an app that shows you everything you posted on the internet on that day from each previous year. So I'll look at shit that I said 6 years ago and I'm like,
bro, what, you know?
And 6 years ago I was 21. Like, I wasn't that young, you know? But I'm like, girl, what the fuck were you talking about?
Being famous and having a microphone.
And imagine being famous, like having a microphone, people actually having influence, and like people were asking your little baby ass dumb shit you don't even know yourself. But you think you do, and that's it.
And pretending like you know what you're talking about. Like, are they like every example of a public figure is like, just talk like as if you know, you are the authority on this thing. And they're like, I think post cancel culture, people know better than to like, you know, pretend that they know about shit they don't really know about, because they see that there are like some like PR consequences to that sort of thing. But I feel like this was
consequences.
This was slightly before this. It slightly predates that, you know, in a way.
It definitely predates that. And like you could, what was I gonna say? Nope.
Get it.
I lost. Oh yeah, saying I don't know is free. Right. You can just say I don't know. Just say you don't know.
We're just having this conversation about Francis Ocean, because he was at the Met Gala, and he showed Met. Up with that he started his like, you know, luxury brand. I don't know if you saw this. He has a luxury brand now.
Yes,
and,
I did.
I have one friend who's like into the classics, like into like Homer and, you know, like all that shit. And she was and he named his brand Homer, and I was like, what is the significance of, because I was like, in his description that he said, like to various media outlets, he was like, I'm naming it Homer because it's about, I wanted to do something that felt like writing history in stone. And I was like, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but Homer didn't write anything into stone, right? That was Moses, right? And she's
the Odyssey. right. Yeah, I'm confused.
And she's like, no, that's like, that makes no sense. And I was like, so he just like saying that because it felt like the vibe was Homer sounds like the vibe of writing into stone. And I was just like,
wow,
literally like no words mean anything. And I say that all to be like, remember when Frank Ocean didn't say a word and we were like, this man is a genius. He is, you know, he is God sent. He like, you know, he is a visionary. He's thinking on three different wavelengths. And it's like, no, he's a smart guy who made good music and has some taste. But ultimately is just a guy who's kind of weird. And maybe a little, it's giving a little bit of a himbo as well. But we didn't,
not we didn't know
that because he was functionally saying, I don't know. He functionally just was like, I'm not going to talk about these things that I don't want to talk about. And so we didn't have a chance to be like, wait, he's kind of silly.
Essentially.
Which is why I...
Oh, he sounded a little dumb right there, right?
You got to wear your himbo on your sleeve is what it comes down to. That's why I'm always out here...
You know what I mean?
You know, talking about my himbo and how proud I am of it, you know? So what? I like a little college football.
I'm proud of you for being proud of your himbo.
So what? I want to, you know, share a brew and what with about the boys it? Every now and then. Sue me.
And what about it? My boys well, like brew. Me and my boys like brew.
Have a brew occasionally in each other's company. Okay, we might call each other bruh.
It's not wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with that.
You know, like and give each Bruv. Other a dap and a hug for the right amount of seconds before we let go, before it gets weird. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Before it gets weird. Right. So, right.
Like I think.
No. Yeah. No. That definitely tracks.
Okay, quickly, I want to do my quick in my defense before we move on to the main event today. We got a juicy one.
Yes.
But my defense, yes. I thought of it. I was watching a movie. So everything begins with memes, right? And I saw a meme again from the Met Gala. Not to bring this shit up twice. I promise it's the last time I'm mentioning it this episode. But I just saw somebody.
You're a fashion boy. I get it. Okay.
The little fits. It's mostly stupid. They, you know, nobody follows the theme. It's all just about celebrity and it's corny. But I saw there's some good, you know, Mike. Timelines get inundated with content around these sorts of events. And I saw somebody post one that was like, you know, this should have been what people wore to the American themes, you know, American vernacular, whatever the theme was. And it was a picture of Warren Beatty and this giant, like, fur coat that looked like it was made by killing three grizzly bears. It was like a fur coat that was like had a fur coat on top of it. It was so big. I should send you the picture.
Yes.
And I was like, where
that sounds correct.
And if I realized, you know, my Gen Z ass was like, oh, this is a famous movie. And it's called McCabe and Mrs. Miller. It's like a movie from the early 70s. It's directed by Robert Altman from my film heads. Where you at? I know the film heads listening to this podcast. And it's the coat is so good. And I was like, damn, I need to watch this movie. So, and it's on HBO Max. Shout out HBO Max. shout out my sister for paying for HBO Max. And...
Hey,
POP. I just texted you this image, by the way, Sequoia. And it's so good. And
okay.
And then I watched this movie, and I'm like, wait, Warren Beatty is so good. We talking about movie stars? They don't make movie stars like the way they make this man. He's so charming. His timing is
okay.
Great.
Okay.
He feels like, you know, I feel like you watch a lot of these like white leading men in these movies now, and it's like they're the same guy who goes to the same trainer and WeHo, and they look exactly the same way, the same jaw, and like Warren Beatty,
yes, all of the Ryans are
taught in the same way, and they act in this very kind of like dry.
Right. All the Chris's.
There was like, I don't know, there's a humor, there's a comedy, there's a finesse to the way this dude Warren Beatty was acting in this movie, and like it just was like really refreshing. I haven't seen a movie like that in a while, and I like him because recently Supreme put out this, you know, they put out weird little videos on their Instagram sometimes. They put out one where it's this dude in a deli. It was like an ad for like a Supreme. I forgot what it was for. Like a Supreme, like something, like a like microphone. You know, they put up, they make random shit and just put Supreme on it. It was like a Supreme microphone or something like that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Walmart.
And the dude is in a deli and he's like, he's like asking for his order for his like chopped cheese. And he's like, yeah, put a little cheese on it. Extra cheese on an extra beef, and you know, make it, make the cheese spread like love. You know, put extra beef because I'm 280. Word to Warren Beatty. And I was like, why is this man talking about Warren Beatty in 2021?
And I was Warren like, Beatty. He watched the same shit you did. He saw the same shit you saw.
Mr. Miller, I guess. But Sequoia, you see that coat? Isn't it amazing?
My name is Tom Buck, and this is The Enthusiasm Project. Join me each week for deep dives exploring the world of what it means to be an independent creator on YouTube, starting your own creative business, and keeping a positive, enthusiastic mindset along the way. New episodes of The Enthusiasm Project are available every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a, first of all, the coat is stunning. The actual photo, it's a good photo in general, but that is a good coat. And it is very American. It's very in excess American.
And they put him on on like the matte red carpet with, and like they superimposed him onto the carpet. And I was like, wait, that would have been an amazing fit.
That would have been a move, but the looks were overwhelmingly disappointing for the Met, for sure. I don't know what they thought the theme was, but it didn't seem like nobody knew what the theme was. So, yeah. You know?
Nobody had the guts.
Very much.
Nobody had the guts to strap up that velour,
you know,
Juicy Met Couture sweatsuit and get on that red carpet. It's from American Lexicon, right?
Because let me tell you what a nigga like me would have worn.
Yes, exactly.
Juicy Couture. Okay. Now, a nigga like me wasn't invited to the Met because I'm not nobody. Nevertheless just know.
Right.
I would have done it in the uptowns. Okay.
And the True Religion jeans and the Ed Hardy t-shirt. All right.
I would never wear Ed Hardy. You know that I would never do that.
You anti-Ed?
That seems like your thing. Maybe you would have worn the Ed Hardy t-shirt. I couldn't. No, it's not for me. Extremely anti-Ed. Extremely anti... What are those? That trucker hats? Oh, and I see that they're making a comeback right now, and it's actually giving me anxiety in my chest.
You don't seem like a hat person.
I don't want the trucker hats to come back. I don't want those to come back. I want those to stay dead. I like hats. I have hats right over here. Okay, to my left.
What's your opposition to the trucker cat?
But no,
I should out myself. I like fell victim. I got one off eBay, a little trucker hat, but I don't even be wearing it like that. I think I kind of regretted it after I got it. What's your opposition?
Oh no! Why'd you order off eBay?
I wanted to get a real,
I mean, like they're heinous to me. That's it.
Like a 2003 Justin Timberlake joint. You know, it's only authentic over here. You know.
You are so funny. Yes.
Authentic.
You wanted something authentic. You needed the Stock X marker of authenticity.
The club in 2003.
For it. I get that.
Hot in here playing. You know, I wanted to. Right.
And cigarettes, because they was allowed to smoke indoors back then and just all types of shit. You wanted the
sweaty
whole
lower
shebang.
Back and those low rise jeans. You know, I wanted all the sensations.
Ooh. The sweaty lower back and low rise jeans really was disgusting.
Was
that sounds disgusting.
That's what was happening.
You know, sweaty lower backs and low rise jeans. You ain't never lied. Okay, that was a good in my defense. So that is what's his name, Warren Beatty. What's his name?
Everybody.
Right. Okay, so y'all go do that. But okay, moving forward, we wanted to introduce a new segment to you niggas. Okay. I say niggas loosely because I know a lot of non-black people listen to this.
Niggas
so don't start calling yourselves that, please. The new segment, you know what I mean? Niggas in code. Niggas et al. You know what I mean? Yes. Niggas in them.
Yes.
Niggas and Them. I like Niggas and Them. That's probably what I'm going to stick with. That's the one. Okay. Okay. So the new segment, Niggas and Them, is Black People Hate, where we talk about, things that Black people hate, but we kind of do it through a lens of current events happening in pop culture or the news in general. And this week for Black People Hate, what I think Black people hate when their fave gets up in public and embarrasses them. Ask me how I know.
Sequoia, how do you know when your fave embarrasses you?
From personal experience. But this week, we have one Miss Nicolas Minaj and one Sir Aubrey Graham getting up and embarrassing niggas. Embarrassed. The barbs are hurt. The barbs are hurt. And the certified lover boys and girls and everyone are upset, and let me tell you why.
The Nicki stuff I've heard, unfortunately.
Okay, okay, you know the Nicki stuff. Okay, so Nicki is in hot water for a plethora of reasons. One being marrying in, have to say alleged, just because, you know, although the podcast, you know, we're not professionals for real, but I say alleged in case Nicki try to come after me, because she be doing that, apparently, allegedly. Marrying an alleged rapist. And now, on top of that, intimidating the woman who he allegedly raped. And also, while all of that is going on in her personal life, she then goes on Twitter and takes an anti-vaccine stance publicly. Okay, so the barbs are in shambles. The barbs are really having a hard time. Their fave is embarrassing them in public.
Just a sweat up. And a vaccine.
What? I hate you. What is wrong with you? Yeah, so she said the niggas' balls are swelling up and all types of shit. Go check it out for yourselves if y'all didn't see it. Miss Nicholas has lost her motherfucking mind because she talking about friend's ball swelling up.
His fiance left
she out here balls. Intimidating victims. Like, I don't know what's wrong. Fiance left him because of his big balls that was swollen. They were supposed to be getting married. Now they're not getting married because niggas ball swollen, all types of stuff. Yeah, so that's Nicolas Minaj. You know, Black people hate to be embarrassed in public. If it's, you know how your mom always told you, don't go in the store and embarrass me?
All three.
Black people hate to be embarrassed in public, and Miss Nicolas is very much embarrassing. And then we have one Sir Aubrey Drake Graham. What'd he do? And Aubrey, one, on his song TSU, there's a nice little credit to one Mr. Robert Kelly. So that's making people raising some eyebrows.
Does he interpolate an R. Kelly
song? Yeah. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he does. Yeah. So people are like, interesting choice. That's number one. And then number two, Mr. Aubrey Drake Graham, there's video evidence of him hanging out with Tory Lanez, playing a little basketball, getting his little Canadian basketball on with Tory Lanez.
Okay, that's offensive. Obviously, the obvious one being Tory Lanez shot Megan Thee Stallion. Yeah. Why is anyone hanging out with this man? Why is this man not under the jail? You know, we're anti-carceral, but if there's somebody who deserves to be in jail, it's that dude. And then two.
Period.
Tory Lanez is terrible at basketball. Have you seen Tory Lanez play basketball? Have you seen those videos? He's terrible. Why would you want him in a
room? I haven't. Is he bad at it?
Tiny.
I
didn't. He clearly is a ball hog.
He's tiny. Yo, the difference in height in the video. I'm gonna find the video eventually and send it to you, Jordan, because I thought it was a joke. Like, I'm like, no. He has to be like superimposed into the video or something, because Tory Lanez, the height difference is
classifiably be like a little person,
right? And like no, for real, because I know Drake is tall, but he's not like that tall. Right. I think Drake is like 6'1", maybe 6 feet, 6'1". Like, he's not crazy tall. And Drake looks like an NBA player. Tory Lanez looks like a small person, legitimately. Like, just like a little person.
Tory Lanez to play basketball with you. There's like, I can't even think of like a legal, you know, there's like, not, you know what I mean? There's no reason that he should even be there. Damn, that's dark. Those are both dark. The R. Kelly thing is wild. I'm like, what song is he in?
Yeah.
Why did I feel like you got to go out of your way to...
TSU. I don't know what song. So, like, Drake put out a statement about it. He said something like, you can't even hear the R. Kelly sample, and it's like on a technicality that he had to credit him and blah, blah, blah. But like, my thing is, the song TSU is not even good enough for you to have included it with an R. Kelly writing. You know what I mean? Like, you put out this trash ass song.
I don't have to go on the record.
What? You like the song?
But I don't dislike that song. Okay. So
this
comes with the preface that, you know, every Drake song, especially the ones on this album, are incredibly patronizing and misogynistic and like, you know, annoying or whatever. You just always like, I don't give a fuck. Them beats kind of go crazy. Them hooks and the beats kind of go crazy.
You know what? That's what I mean.
From him anyway, that's why he's Drake. But I'm so confused by where this R. Kelly thing wouldn't even come from. Just take the sample out. I doubt we would have made much of a difference.
Take the sample out. We would not have noticed. First of all, it's a 21 song album, I believe. An hour and 40 something minutes. You can stand to lose one entire song, Drake. Mm. Especially because that one didn't do nothing for me specifically. There's like four hits on that record for me. It's the first one, Poppy's Home, No Friends in the Industry, and then the one with Wayne and Rick Ross. And everything else, and like Too Sexy's fun too. So I guess five. But I'm like, the rest of this shit, you could have left all this at home. You could have left the rest of this entirety of this album at home. You gave me 21 tracks and five of them are good. Drake is bloated. It's tired. Leave it alone. We're tired of your streaming ploys. Get it out of here. And then on top of that, to have to include an R. Kelly written by credit. And you thought that was just cute and it was just going to fly. No, nigga.
That intro, that symphonic intro of the song is, I guess, the same intro that they... Kelly song. So just get rid of the intro. It's that simple. Just cut the intro.
Cut the intro. Like, it's really simple. But instead, you said, no, I'm going to pay him. I want to run him his coin.
The integrity of the song needed.
For what?
Of my song.
The artistic integrity of this Drake song.
She didn't have to strip anymore. You know, like, being someone's sugar daddy.
Oh, my God.
In the most patronizing, insulting way.
Oh my God. Like Drake. You could have kept it. So yeah.
Oof, yeah, we hate, black people do hate that.
Everybody's faves. I can't even say on thin ice. Everybody's faves. Black people hate to be embarrassed in public, and y'all's faves are embarrassing y'all in public, and mine too. But he's been doing that for years. But y'all's faves are newly embarrassing y'all in public. Okay? And I know I hate that for y'all. I'm sorry to see that happen to y'all. I would say wouldn't let that shit happen to me, though, but that would be a lie. Mm-hmm. So that's that. On that, that's a new segment that we'll be having recurring, Black People Hate. We would talk about, you know, stuff that Black people hate through the lens of shit happening in the news. Let us know if you have thoughts, feelings about that segment. And I think we can move to the main topic. Jordan, do you want to intro it?
You know, it's just like the, you know, that's the best thing that's here.
Only, actually.
Yes. And let's move into...
Mm-hmm. Only that. Wait, before you move on, we got an email, okay? And I am going to... read it to you. So we have a snail mail. So we have an email from someone who is suggesting a topic to us. I probably won't be able to do this topic for reasons. I don't know. Maybe I'll explain, but here's the email. Hey y'all, Sequoia. I think about this every time I hear you proudly claim your honorary Caribbean/West Indian heritage. I always think to myself, Black people love being mixed, from good hair, a term I vehemently detest and deny, and colored eyes. What the fuck even is that? All eyes have a color. Since when is brown not a color? To all the complexions in between, Black people love being mixed. Side note, hey Jordan, I've learned a few words just from listening to you speak, and I love that for Come through private education.
That's on Connecticut. That's on Haven County.
That's on Connecticut, baby. Okay? Period. So I was tickled, this one really tickled me when it came through. The side note, hey Jordan, I've learned a few words from you, really tickled me. And then come on, private education, I don't know, I thought it was funny. But But yes, probably not a topic we're going to cover.
Go watch Passing, that new Netflix movie.
But thank you for writing in. I appreciate you listening.
get that itch. Have you not heard about this, Sequoia? Oh, no. It's coming out, I guess.
Wait. Is that out? I haven't heard about it, really. I think I briefly saw somebody mention Passing on Twitter, but I didn't realize what they were talking about.
It's an adaptation.
And I was like,
the whole story is kind of funny. It's an adaptation of this 20s novel by this Harlem Renaissance writer named Nella Larson. And it's about two women who grew up together in Southside Chicago, both of them light bright. One of them decides to be a white lady, and one of them decides that she's going to go marry her black king and move to Harlem. And then years later, their paths cross, and then they have this weird little love triangle starts or something. But the thing about the movie though that is funny is that they cast what's her name, Tessa Thompson and Ruth Negga, neither of whom look like they could be white ladies in my opinion, because I thought the whole thing, the plot hinges on them being kind of passing, and then two,
they don't.
It's directed by this Ruth Negga, N-E-G-A.
Right, hold on, let me look at Ruth. Actress. Who's Ruth?
Ruth Negga.
What's her last Negga? I see. Oh, you know what? She could pass a little bit more than
crosses over
Tessa.
But the other thing that's funny about this movie is that they got this woman Rebecca Hall to direct it, and Rebecca Hall's claim to blackness is that she's a white British lady who discovered late in her life that her granddaddy or her great granddaddy was half black. She's like, actually, I'm 32nd black. So
you're
that
lying.
Makes it actually really important for this story to be told from my perspective. She's like,
you're lying to me. You're not being honest. You're trying to be funny right now.
It's actually my entire bloodline is polluted now at this point. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Oh my God, now my entire bloodline is polluted now. She's giving Halsey. She's giving Halsey. I don't know. Wow.
Episode about being mixed. Because I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory, you know, white supremacy and all that. You know,
yeah.
They did a number on us.
You know what I mean? That delves into some actual scars. Right, but just that delves into some actual traumatic.
Yeah, exactly.
We're trying to keep it kind of lightly light. We don't want to dive into the mixed thing. But if you have any other suggestions, please, we're open. Our ears are open.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. We'll let you know when we get Ta-Nehisi Coates on the show. And until then. Yeah. Right. But yeah. So anyways, thank you for writing in. But you want to move on to the segment of the day?
We're talking about something near, dear, loud, and fast. We're talking about black people loving
loud
American muscle cars, specifically Hellcats.
I just want to point out that you said loud and fast, and that could be interpreted as the reason black people love it, because black people also can be described as loud and fast sometimes. You know what I mean? Oh, this wasn't a racist program. This isn't a race. Oh, this isn't a safe place for racism. Okay. I thought you speaking as Jamaicans was gonna be happy with the fast portion of that, but okay.
See, now we're doing puns. We're doing Usain Bolt puns. Come on.
I'm done. Y'all, I really tickled myself with that one.
Hellcats. Yes, you heard it. You heard us right. That is the Dodge car vehicle that has become a popular shout out in rap songs in the last 5 years. We're not the first actually to identify this. You know, why Dodges? You know, when they think of rap and you think of 2000s rap and recent rap, it's always, you know, the G-Wagons, you know, it's the Maybach, it's the Lambo, but a mainstay within that same category is like, you hear Hellcats and you hear Demon, you hear like all these, like, shout outs to Dodge, the American car company made in Detroit, you know, like, it's very strange. We're curious about this. What is up with that? You know, and to name some prominent examples, there's that song that was popular on TikTok recently, Moneybagg Yo and City Girls. Hellcat is the SRT. You remember that one? There's Lil Durk. Young Thug. Exactly.
Vroom, vroom. Pull up GY63.
And then Kodak Black ZZ. He goes,
pull up in the Demon on God.
I'm in a Hellcat because I'm a Hellraiser. He said, I pull up in a Demon.
Oh, God. Is that what he's saying? In the Demon.
Pitchfork writer, Sheldon Pierce wrote a great article about this actually in February 2019 about why the Hellcat is the signature rap muscle car, and he lays out all these examples, some of which we just mentioned, and something that stuck out to me was that he quotes Lil Baby in an article from a profile Lil Baby from Noisy in 2018, and Lil Baby says, if you're a young black dude from the hood, you want to come through the hood in a car that makes a lot of noise. And like, the thing you got, okay, so I guess we should preface what this car is. This car, the Dodge Hellcat, is like one of the performance, like, it's a performance grade street car. It's like not a normal car. It's like a car that has upwards of 900 horsepower, like a type of car that no one really needs in their everyday life to do things. You know what I mean? Like it's a car that goes 0 to 60 in like under 4 seconds or something like that. And it's one of the most powerful, you know, has one of the most powerful engines of any like street legal car. And I think they started making them. Dodge like has kind of gone all in on these sort of cars in recent years, probably in part because of the popularity that they've gotten from rap songs. But like they started reissuing these like sort of cars in the late 2010s, I want to say. It's a variation of the Dodge Challenger. The Hellcat is a special type of the Dodge Challenger. They brought them back in 2008. So this was like a classic muscle car. Like it was like 70, early 70s muscle car, and early 70s to early 80s muscle car. And then they disappeared. And I remember being in middle school and that Transformer movie happened. Uh-huh. And I feel like that was low key a big like turning point for these types of cars. Cause remember Bumblebee is like a Camaro, and Chevy had just brought back the Camaro.
Yes.
And so I think around the same time Dodge was like, all right, well, you guys bring back the Camaro. Yeah. We're going to bring back the Challenger.
Yes.
And then, so they brought back the Challenger, and then they started making, these special versions of the Challenger called, like, you know, the SRTs, which is, I think, street racing technology is what that stands for. It's like the kind of souped up version of the car, they're demons as described, and then the demon is a whole nother. The demon is like the souped up version of the Hellcat, if I'm not mistaken, and that one like. You don't want to be in that car. Like, spacious.
So you telling me niggas is driving around in a car? Niggas is driving around a car called street racing technology, and they're not automatically getting pulled over all the time? Like, I don't understand how you just drive around in a car called street racing technology and not get in trouble.
Especially if they're like, yeah. Street racing technology is what it stands for, and it was a thing that they developed in 2011, at Dodge at Chrysler, and yeah, that is all to say that these cars are unusual, and very loud, and very fast, and very powerful. So it makes sense that as Sheldon points out in this article, I think at the end he says. I thought this was really kind of genius. He says, rappers aren't drawn to muscle cars just because of their specs, just because of, you know, how fast and powerful they are, but because they can out, because they can outperform other muscle cars or can be models resemble the beast from the past. They're drawn to them because as a package, they signify a devil may care fearlessness, a firewalker's confidence. Like to drive these cars as fast as they do, and like in it signals like, you know, I don't give a fuck, you know, like I'm trying to like, I'm just doing whatever the fuck I want to do. And I don't care if I like
100% like,
take
right.
off the side of the road in this thing. Like, you know, I'm living my life, you know, I'm just going. It's very the Fonz.
God, it's giving the Fonz. It's like, you know, like the new version of the Bad Boy. It's like
we own these streets.
I see.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They're doing donuts. Yeah. And I think also, like, I feel like black people, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, wait. Did I ever tell you about the time when mm-hmm. me and Garrick were I had to pee really bad, and we were driving home, getting off the exit and onto the street, like almost at his house, and we get stopped at this intersection because a gang of little boys what? Decide that they're gonna do donuts in the middle of the intersection for the next like 30 minutes. Hey. I was so upset. I had to pee. Oh my God. Oh my, and these little everywhere, like traffic is backed up for miles. I'm like, wow, police are useless. Oh, wow. We were in K-Town in LA. Yes. We were like right by Garrick's house, right in K-Town. And this shit went on for 34 minutes. Like it went on for so long. I was like, wow, I'm just confused as to where my tax dollars are going, okay? Because I already don't condone the cost. But now, now I have to pee. It is teenagers preventing me from peeing for a whole half hour because these niggas said they want to do donuts in the middle of the street. I have never, I already don't like teenagers. I hate teenagers. Huh? Garrick was having a time of his motherfucking life. Garrick is outside of the car. Everybody's out of their cars at this point. Garrick is outside of the car in the front of the intersection looking at all this shit happening. I'm pissed in the car telling Garrick, okay, and when I pee in your car, you're going to be mad. You're going to be mad when I pee in your vehicle because you thought this shit was cute and you didn't want to run them over like I said. Okay?
The streets are covered in
you know what I mean? I should have just popped a spot on the street and called it a day.
Yeah. But see, exactly, exhibit A, you know, like kids,
true
and,
that.
Like little
true
black
that.
Kids, little black and brown kids love them a fast car. And I feel like it goes the first, like, you know, also it signifies like getaway cars, you know, like it signifies like, you know, anti-establishment. Like the cars were like one of the first, like were of an early, like fundamental tool of like, lawlessness, yeah. Like in like the early 20th century, like I think I was reading briefly, like the first like getaway cars were these anarchists in France who were like in like 1911 robbed a bank in France and used like early French cars to get away. And then when, like,
oh, God, the French are just on top of all things anarchy and revolution. I am very pro the French. My God,
Al Capone and them were like. They were using.
I stand.
Al Capone and Co. Yeah. Al Capone and them.
Yeah.
And them. They were. He had a famous like a green Cadillac that he like lined with asbestos. Apparently, lined the doors with asbestos. So when they got shot up when they were leaving, running from the cops, it would be like bulletproof.
Stop. What?
Like. Cars signify this like this freedom, you know, this like
no,
you know,
I'm this, stuck like, on asbestos being bulletproof. Asbestos up, is like, bulletproof.
Out of here, sort of thing.
I'm stuck.
apparently, let's look it up. Asbestos. But obviously we know not to use it anymore.
Asbestos. What?
Remember when people were finding asbestos in people's houses? You remember that whole thing?
Yes, like, yes, Jordan, I sure do. That was absolutely a thing.
Non-sequitur that is not useful or helpful at all.
I do recall asbestos, but was my house bulletproof when asbestos was in it? That's really what I need to know.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I can live with asbestos if it means shots not going
to
get to me.
I feel like I think of 70s like muscle cars. I really identify with like black people. You know, I feel like, and at that time, that was the aspirational thing. You know, like you weren't the like having a European import was a much rarer, like thing to have in America. I feel like in the 20th century. You know, like people weren't driving around a Mercedes and European cars the way they are now. So like the highest thing you could aspire to was like a Dodge Challenger, was like a, you know, Chevy Monte Carlo, that sort of thing. And I feel like that's something that like the generations now who are talking about this in their songs and whatever have adopted from their like their uncles and their granddaddies and their, you know, their dads, you know, is this like love of American muscle. And the name Hellcat.
That's very true. You know what? Drake has this. I know, but that's a very fun name. Like, I absolutely love the name. Like, love that. Drake has this line where he says, "I already packed the garage. None of these shits is a Dodge." I said, "Oh, he's throwing shots at you niggas." He said, "I would never do that. I would never drive a Dodge Hellcat. I would never drive a Demon or whatever fuck y'all be driving. None of these shits is a Dodge." I said, "Ooh."
But I mean, that speaks to the ubiquity of the car, right? That like Drake would even like deem to mention it on a song is because he's like, yeah, I see you guys driving around in your little Dodges. All of you driving around your little Dodges. Yeah. Your little Dodges.
Right. Your little Dodge. That's essentially what he said. Your little Dodges. Well, yeah, that's
it's
cute.
It's very fun. It's very right. rebellious. It's very like. Reclaiming space, you know, a display of virility, having a loud fast car. I mean, you see it in LA, you see it so much in New York too. Like, I feel like having a car, especially for dudes here, is such a flex because, you know, New York is such a public transportation city. So to be like, I got my own car, you know, I can get around. I'm not out here taking the bus or taking the train like you other people, you know, is such a thing. And so you see dudes with the loudest cars, the like loudest, fastest cars.
Right. Right.
And it just feels like a way to signify that, you know, I'm here and I got it like that. And you're going to have to deal with me. Mm-hmm. See me, hear me.
You know what I mean? See me, hear me. Right. You will feel me. You will, you know, hear me. All that stuff. I can appreciate that. And I do hear a lot of rap lyrics right now talking about Hellcats and whatever the fuck else. And so, it's I see that. I see that it's pervasive to the culture. It's having its moment. But a stop. Oh, my God. The baby car, the car that looked like the baby's head. No, I really can't imagine it. I hate PD Cruiser so much. But I was gonna say, like older generations of black people love a muscle car, like the Camaro. I'm really not a car person, and so I'm trying to pull something out of my ass right now. What is that other car? A Camaro, a Corvette. Is a Corvette American?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Yeah, I've
been okay. Him. Yeah, he is. Yeah, Corvette's American. Yeah. All those cars were like such a thing. Like, yeah, I've been on Corvette. That's my nigga. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. But that's like, all that shit is such a thing. In Long Beach culture, like low riders are a thing. And I feel like a lot of the time they are American cars. They're usually Chevys. T.I., before he was off the deep end, he was always rapping about a Chevy. American cars have been like a pervasive thing in black culture. And that's really interesting. seeing as we don't even like this damn country.
We really never asked to be here. No, yeah, I think...
I never said I wanted to be here, but that's fine.
I remember noticing growing up in Connecticut, being around lots of Italian Americans, is that the older, my old football coach, my old lacrosse coach, like they loved them a Cadillac, you know, like, you know how the new Cadillacs look, like the Cadillacs from the 90s and 2000 look kind of funny? You know, like, they would still be driving these funny looking Cadillacs, yes, because of the name Cadillac had such a cultural cachet to them growing up, yes, in the 60s and 70s. You know, like, they were like, oh yeah, I have a Cadillac. And it's like, that meant something 30 years ago in a way it does, yes, not the same thing now.
Right. All, yeah, things Cadillac. Yeah. Like, yeah, like you said, it didn't matter what the body of the car looked like. It was a Cadillac, and that's all that was. The Cadillac Escalade, yeah, those original, like, car Cadillacs. The, like, the convertible ones. Yeah, like, yeah, wow. This, Cadillac this really was, like, a black cultural thing.
Coach Mack, he had a big old Escalade, and I feel like he would, like, park it on the field. Just because, like, he'd be like, he, like, would take some equipment out of the back of it. It was like, you didn't need to park it on the field. You just wanted to park it on the field, you know. Oh, yeah, take the balls out. Yeah, take the balls out. We're getting practice going. Let's go.
Just to be seen. Just to be, like, seen. Right.
Yeah, come on, get it. Go get it.
Let's go. Yeah. Get out the back. Yeah.
Inspire to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you little niggas can have something too to aspire to. If you keep playing football, you can get this Cadillac too. Yeah, right. Y'all go clean this car too.
Get it out. The Hellcat, the Demon. That being said, this has been a sponsored episode. Thank you, Dodge.
I think we covered it. I think we covered it, you know?
You know.
That being said, what?
Right.
Yeah, so when y'all see me driving my Cadillac next week, don't say nothing to me. Don't bring up this. Don't bring up that I ever said nothing about it. Like, when you see me whipping my Escalade, I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is.
You know, we're not, you know.
Yeah, it's a coincidence, right?
Being subsidized by GM or Chrysler. You know, I don't know anything about Detroit. I don't know anything about Detective.
I've never been to Detroit. I don't know nothing about Detroit, you know.
We're not bought.
Nothing like that. So this is just me essentially asserting my, nothing like that. I'm just asserting my blackness and letting you guys know that I will have the Escalade probably next week.
Right.
Cadillac may or may not have gifted that to me. If they did, mind your business, because it's really not your business. And yeah, I think that's it. So, Jordan, do you have any final words for what I called them before? The niggas and them? Really, yeah, the niggas and them. Do you have any final words for them?
Should all go. invest yourself. Go immerse yourself in Hellcat culture. If you see some kids in an intersection doing donuts, go up to one of those young chaps and ask them, "Hey, is that a Hellcat?" You know, and you know, you never know. The answer might be yes. The answer likely will be yes. Okay? So, you know what? That's what I leave you with.
Or if you see some little niggas in an intersection and you have to pee, you could simply pee in the middle of the intersection and stop everything that they're doing. You know what I mean? You might end up on the internet. I don't know. But you could simply pee in the middle of the intersection. Yeah. And that's one of the roles that you can take in that circumstance. But yes, thank you for joining us for another week, season 2 premiere episode.
You know what it is.
We are excited to be back. Happy to bring you some new topics this season, some new segments, some new guests. We're doing plenty of many of things, but more than anything, we appreciate you being here with us. And yeah, you know what? I need to remember to tell the girls all of our information. First of all, rate us on Apple Music, please. If you have the time and you're going to give 5 stars, go ahead and rate us. If you're going to give anything less than that, suck a dick. Don't do that. Give us 5 stars. Rate us on Apple Music. Appreciate that. Yes, a little. Yes, you're a little delayed too. Second, what is the second thing? Oh, you can email us at blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com if you have topic episode ideas, or if you want to tell Jordan that he has a great vocabulary, or if you want to tell me that you appreciate me for being, you know, lightly Caribbean, you know what I mean? Not really, but like a little bit, you know what I mean? Then you're welcome to do that too. I won't even try the accent just because I'm not about to have niggas trying to attack me, but yes. And then you can follow us on social media at
I just wanted before you to plug the social media, or if you watch McCabe and Mrs. Miller, feel free to, you know, tell us how that experience was. Did you like the coat? Did it look good? And the film, you know, etc.
You know what I mean? And you can reach us by DMing that to us. You know, if you want to tell us about Mrs. Miller and her coat, you can DM us at BPLPpod across all social media platforms. And, you know, we'll get back to you. You know the vibes. That's it. Yeah. Good talking to y'all again. You know, I've missed my fans so much in Panama. I know Panama misses us. You know, I know Bermuda Miente. Misses us. That's another place where we have an oddly. Right. I know mi gente has been waiting for this. So I'm happy to be here talking to y'all. I appreciate y'all listening. And that's it. Bye, y'all.